Thank you for the special music. I'm glad we have water up here. I never drink water, but today I need it. So I hope we make it. Well, the weather has been beautiful, and it never fails that God's holy days are right on time. The spring springs right around the spring holy days every year. I was just noticing this morning the grass is turning green, the buds are coming out on the trees. So by next weekend, I'm sure there'll be some flowers blooming. It'll definitely be spring. Many years ago, before God, the Father, and Jesus Christ created the universe, the heavens and the earth, everything on the earth, they made a plan. As we all know, that plan was to make physical, flesh and blood human beings with temporary lives and give them the opportunity to become spirit beings who will live with them forever as members of their family. We know that it's God the Father who calls human beings and reveals His plan to them. And it's through His Spirit that He inspired men to write the scriptures that are now available to human beings all over the earth in the Bible. Through His Spirit, God opens the minds of those He's calling to know the truth and understand His plan that, as we all know, is described in the Bible. We, who have been called at this time to know God, His way of life, and His plan for humanity, know that God is going to establish His kingdom on the earth. We know that God is preparing us to be leaders and teachers in His kingdom. We know that God wants all human beings to be saved and to know the truth. And He's giving us the opportunity to have a part in making that happen. God wants all who have ever lived to have the opportunity to live forever in His kingdom as members of His family. But those who enter God's kingdom must live by the rules. God tells us through the Bible how to have good relationships with other human beings. God wants us all to get along with one another. He's not going to give us eternal life if we can't get along with each other. So God has given us rules for developing relationships with other people. The title of this sermon, if you'd like to have a title, is 6 Rules for Developing Good Relationships with Other People. 6 Rules for Developing Good Relationships with Other People. These 6 rules or commandments are essential for developing good relationships with other people. And these rules are very important because if we don't obey them, our improper behavior will have negative impacts on our families, neighbors, co-workers, and spiritual brothers and sisters. We must learn to get along with each other. If we don't, God won't allow us in His kingdom. God wants us to develop relationships with each other that will last forever. God wants us to develop relationships that produce respect, cooperation, and stability in our families, with our neighbors, our co-workers, in our congregation, and ultimately in His kingdom. So today, I want to look at the 6 rules God has given us for developing good relationships with other people. You may recall that I gave a sermon back in February titled "The 4 Rules for Developing a Good Relationship with God." Well, in that sermon, we looked at the first 4 of the 10 commandments. So today we're going to look at the remaining 6 commandments. You may know them as commandments 5 through 10, but today I'm going to refer to them as rules 1 through 6. So let's look now at rule number 1. Rule number 1 is found in Exodus 20, verse 12. So if you would please turn to Exodus 20. And you may want to mark your place there because we'll be coming here 6 times. And I'm going to take my own advice and mark my place. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We know the first thing we learn, or the first thing we need to learn as human beings, is to respect others. And we should learn as children how to respect and honor others. And we should learn these things from our parents. We should learn as children our responsibility for our own conduct. We should learn when we are children how to consider how our behavior affects others. We should begin to learn when we are children to control our desires and begin to develop character. We should begin to learn as children to consider the desires and needs of others and learn how to give in and yield to others. We should learn when we are children how to submit to authority and how to accept instruction and correction. Let's turn for a moment to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, mark your place there in Exodus 20. We'll be coming back. And let's go now to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's very important for children to obey their parents. Children need to learn respect because they need to learn to honor their parents. They need to learn respect, and they need to learn to honor their parents. These things are very important for children to learn because wrong attitudes can stay with them throughout their lives. 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And we should learn when we're children to honor and respect others. It's much easier to honor and respect others when we've learned to honor and respect our parents as children. It's also important for parents to be good examples and to teach their children right principles. As parents, we must respect and obey God, our Father. If we respect and obey God, our children will learn to respect and obey us. So we must also respect others. We can't expect our children to respect and honor others if we don't respect and honor others. As adults, we must continue to honor our parents. But we honor them in different ways than we did as children. We may need to help them with physical needs or help them financially. Please turn to Mark chapter 7, and let's read verses 9 through 13. It's Mark 7, verses 9 through 13. Mark 7, beginning with verse 9. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. And many such things you do. So Jesus criticized a group of Pharisees and scribes because they neglected to help their needy parents. They established traditions that conflicted with God's commandments. Clearly, God intends for us to honor our parents. And when we are adults, we can help them and honor them by helping them with their needs. We should also honor our grandparents. Grandparents love to spend time with their grandchildren, so we should spend time with them. There is a lot we can learn from our grandparents. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." There are blessings for honoring our parents. And I can tell you it's a wonderful thing to have a good relationship with your parents. Let's look now at rule number two. Rule number two is found in Exodus 20, verse 13. So if you've saved your place there. Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. We do not have the right to take someone else's life. God created us in His image and has given us life. Only God has the right to take someone's life or give permission for someone's life to be taken from them. Although we have all sinned and deserve to die, God has provided a way for us to be forgiven. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked man turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?" God doesn't want anyone to die. He wants everyone to repent so He can give them eternal life. Now, Jesus explained the spiritual intent of this commandment in the Sermon on the Mount. So please turn to Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verses 21 through 22. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. You may also, if you have two ribbons in your Bible like I do, you may want to mark your place here because we will also be going to the Sermon on the Mount several times. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 21. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' or worthless person, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." We have to be careful that we don't harbor anger or have a malicious attitude toward anyone. We should not be hateful or hostile toward anyone. We should not use words to hurt their feelings or damage their reputation. We should never have a desire to see someone suffer. All these things violate the intent of the commandment not to murder. We also should not retaliate when someone's hateful toward us. They may resent us or say hurtful things, but Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil." Let's turn there, Romans 12. Let's read verses 17 through 21. That's Romans 12. Verses 17 through 21. Romans 12, verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're supposed to love others and do good things for them. And if we love someone the way God loves us, we will be willing to forgive them, just as God has forgiven us. By giving an enemy a drink, we're not approving of the wrong that they've done, but we are forgiving them and loving them in spite of their sins, just like God did for us. That is how we fulfill the intent of the commandment not to murder. Okay, let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Again, Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verses 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So God wants us to go far beyond avoiding murder. He doesn't want us to hurt others with our words or our actions. He wants us to treat even those who hate us with respect and do everything we can to live peaceably with them. He wants us to have good relationships with other people and respect the gift of life that He has given them. Let's look now at rule number three. Rule number three is found in Exodus 20, verse 14. So if you would flip back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. God designed men and women to be together in marriage. And this was established by God at creation. In Genesis 2, verse 24, God said to Adam and Eve, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God clearly described here a sexual relationship between a man and his wife. Jesus also made it clear that God intended marriage to be a lifelong relationship between one man and one woman. Please turn to Matthew chapter 19, and let's read verses 3 through 6. Matthew 19, beginning with verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. God has given us this instruction regarding sex and marriage for our benefit. There are many studies that show the benefits of marriage. Good marriage benefits the husband, the wife, their children, their communities, and society in general. God created men and women with desires that were intended to bring them together in marriage. Most people in the society that we live in today don't follow God's instructions regarding sex and marriage, and so there are temptations to engage in all types of sexual immorality all around us. Adultery is basically any willful participation in sexual activity who is not your husband or wife. God's instructions found in the Bible make it clear that the only person we should have a sexual relationship with is our spouse. So any sexual relationship outside of marriage is wrong, and it's wrong because it's harmful. Sexual immorality prevents us from having the kind of relationship God intended for us to have in marriage. Let's turn again to the Sermon on the Mount. Please turn to, again, to Matthew chapter 5. And this time let's read verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We have to control our thoughts, because wrong thoughts will eventually lead to wrong actions. We never know when we're going to be tempted, so we can't allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And if we dwell on those things in our minds, we will be vulnerable. Now, lust is wrong because it's a selfish desire. And we need to replace our selfish thoughts with unselfish thoughts. We need to focus on having proper relationships with all people. After God created Adam, he said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." That's found in Genesis 2, verse 18, if you want to put that in your notes. A good marriage is a wonderful thing. God designed men and women to be together. He intended for them to marry. Good marriages are wonderful blessings. Again, for the husband, for the wife, for their children, and others. We need to respect the instructions God has given us regarding sex and marriage. It's important that we have proper relationships with people of the opposite sex. If we want to have good relationships with them, we must truly care about them and be willing to follow God's instructions. Let's look now at rule number 4. Rule number 4 is found in Exodus 20, verse 15. So if you would turn there. Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. God wants us to prosper and enjoy physical things, but he also expects us to respect everyone's right to acquire possessions and own property. Stealing shows a lack of respect for the rights and feelings of others. If we want to have good relationships with other people, we have to consider their rights and needs. Now, there's many ways to steal. There are other ways to steal besides directly taking things that belong to others. Con artists deceive people into giving them their money. Companies cheat their customers by selling them substandard products and by false advertising. Workers steal from their employers by charging more hours than they worked. Others borrow, but never repay or return what they borrowed. Stealing is the result of a wrong way of thinking. It's the result of greed and selfishness. We should be willing to work for the things we have and willing to share what we have with others. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need." Let's turn again to the Sermon on the Mount. This time turn to Matthew chapter 6, and let's read verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus taught that we should be more concerned about spiritual things than physical things. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quoted Jesus as saying, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." We should be more concerned about the needs of others. And we should be motivated by love and generosity rather than greed and selfishness. We can read more of Jesus' words in Luke. Luke, if you would turn to Luke chapter 6. And let's read verses 30 through 35. This is also from the Sermon on the Mount, but this is from the book of Luke. Luke 6, beginning with verse 30. "Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." If we give to those in need, God will bless us. The more we give to others, the more God will give us. And the more God gives us, the more we will have to give. Let's read verse 38. Drop down now, still in Luke chapter 6. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Again, the more we give, the more God will give us. If we have the right approach, God will bless us, and we will be a blessing to others. So if we want to have good relationships with others, we must be generous and give to those in need. Now let's look at rule number 5. Rule number 5 is found in Exodus 20, verse 16. Exodus 20, verse 16, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." God wants us to be like him and always speak the truth. If we lie, we're not trustworthy, and we will have problems with our relationships. We must always speak the truth in order to show our sincere concern for others. Please turn to Psalm 15, and let's read verses 1 through 3 of this psalm written by David. That's Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 15, verse 1. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend." God expects us to be truthful in everything. Sadly, so many people lie these days. You can't trust anyone. Isaiah 59, verse 4 says, "No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Lying seems to be acceptable to many people, but God calls it an abomination. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." It can be very tempting to lie. People often lie to get something they want. Sometimes people lie to avoid embarrassment or guilt. But it's wrong to lie. Lying negatively affects our relationships with others. It destroys trust. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Lying causes conflicts and tears down relationships. And if we want to have good relationships with others, we must be truthful at all times. Speaking the truth shows our sincere concern for them. Let's look now at rule number 6. Rule number 6 is found in Exodus 20, verse 17. Exodus 20, verse 17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Well, this last rule is not about a specific act, but this one directly addresses our hearts. It addresses our thoughts. This is still related to developing good relationships with others because it does affect our relationships. Coveting is harmful to our relationships with others. The wrong acts begin with wrong thoughts. In Mark 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Coveting is a desire for something that doesn't belong to us. Instead of coveting, we should be looking out for the good of others and be happy for them when they are blessed. Our desire should be to be a blessing to them. Please turn to James chapter 1. Let's read verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. James 1, beginning with verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So we're naturally selfish. And we tend to think about ourselves first and what we want, rather than others and what we can do for them. Our first thoughts are what we can get rather than what we can give. We'd turn forward just a few chapters to James chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. It's James 4, beginning with verse 1. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." If we don't control our wrong thoughts, they can lead to wrong acts. We shouldn't let our wrong desires control our behavior. As this scripture points out, coveting can lead to fights and wars and all kinds of problems. But our society encourages covetousness. However, it's nothing new. It's always been a problem for human beings. Because our focus is on physical things, physical possessions. And we'll never have enough to be satisfied. We need to focus on spiritual things instead of physical things and ask God to provide us with the things that we need. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." We need to learn to be content with the things we have and trust God to provide us with the things we need. And we must also learn to have concern for others. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. And let's read verses 3 and 4. It's Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, if we look around, we can always find people with greater needs than us. We need to be concerned for them and not just for ourselves. God wants our concern for others to be our motivation. We should be focused on giving rather than getting. Our objective should be to better serve others. If we want to have good relationships with others, we must replace coveting with service and love for other people. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." God's not going to allow us into his kingdom if we don't learn to control our thoughts and keep all of his commandments. He wants us to learn how to have good relationships with each other. And he's not going to allow us into his kingdom if we can't get along with each other. Over the past few weeks, we've heard sermons about preparing to keep the Passover. Well, I think we are all aware that God's holy days picture God's plan to save mankind. And Passover is the first holy day of the year. It reminds us of the first step in God's plan. It reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice for us. The Passover also reminds us of God's love for us and that we should love our fellow man. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God the Father loves us so much, he sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for us. We all deserve to die because of our sins, but God sent Jesus Christ to die in our place so we could be saved from eternal death and have eternal life. And that's what Passover is about. Passover is a memorial of Jesus' sacrifice of himself. And the bread and wine, as we heard in the sermonette, symbolize the sacrifice Jesus made for us. The bread symbolizes his body, and the wine symbolizes his shed blood. Jesus willingly obeyed the Father and gave his life to pay the penalty for all our sins. And he did this so God could forgive us and give us eternal life. Jesus' willingness to suffer and die for us shows that he also loves us. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The Passover reminds us of the love that God the Father and Jesus Christ have for us. Observing the Passover also reminds us that we should love our fellow man. The foot washing that we do as part of the Passover service as Jesus instructed, reminds us that we should follow Jesus' example of love and humble service to others. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4, and let's read verses 9 through 11. That's 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The Scripture points out God's love for us. And God doesn't just tell us that He loves us. He showed us His love. His love for us motivated Him to do something. John adds, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's turn back one chapter to 1 John chapter 3 and read verses 16 through 19. 1 John chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Because of Jesus' love for us, He willingly gave His life for us. Jesus was also motivated by His love for us to do something. John tells us that we should follow Jesus' example and lay down our lives for the brethren. See, then John goes on and tells us how to do that. So let's continue verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, without Jesus' sacrifice of Himself, we would have no hope. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we could never have eternal life. Romans 3, verse 23 says, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned because we're not able to live God's way perfectly. We're not able to obey all of God's commandments. 1 John 3, verse 4 says that sin is lawlessness. And we sin when we fail to obey all of God's commandments. Let's turn once again to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Please turn to Matthew chapter 5, and this time let's read verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount that He didn't come to do away with any of God's laws. And He also made it clear that God still expects us to keep all of His commandments. Jesus made it clear in His Sermon on the Mount that God also expects us to go beyond the letter of the law and keep the spiritual intent of the law. The Pharisees were good at keeping the letter of the law, but Jesus taught His disciples that God expects more. Verse 20 says, for I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. God gave us many laws for living His way in the Bible. And the Ten Commandments give us a summary of the laws God gave to man. But God's laws can be summed up in even fewer words. Jesus summarized all of God's laws with just two commandments. Please turn forward a few chapters to Matthew chapter 22. And let's read verses 35 through 40. That's Matthew chapter 22. And we'll begin with verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These two commandments sum up all of God's law. God's law teaches us how to love. How to love God and how to love our fellow man. I think we're all aware that the first four of the Ten Commandments teach us how to love God. They teach us how to have a good relationship with God. The other six teach us how to love other people. They teach us how to have good relationships with other people. It may be possible to keep the letter of the law without loving God and without loving our neighbor, but it's not possible to keep the spirit of the law. We cannot keep God's law the way God intended unless we love God and our fellow man. Please turn to Romans 13 and let's read verses 8 through 10. It's Romans 13. Beginning with verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God wants us to love one another. And love is the fulfillment of His law. Commandments 5 through 10, or rules 1 through 6, as I have referred to them, are six rules for developing good relationships with other people. These rules guide us toward learning to love others. When we learn to love others, we will obey God's commandments and we will fulfill the purpose of the law. It sounds simple. All we have to do is love one another. Well, it's not so simple. It goes against our human nature to love others. It's simply humanly impossible to love others the way God wants us to. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." God wants us to love one another as much as He does. We can't do that without His help. We need God's Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 describes the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And then these others can be considered different aspects of love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. With God's Spirit in us, we can have the love for others that we need to obey God's laws and develop good relationships with them. We will not be in God's kingdom if we don't learn to develop good relationships or learn how to develop good relationships with others. So if we want to have good relationships with other people, we must ask for God's help, and we must strive to, number one, respect and honor our parents. Number two, respect the life that God has given to others. Number three, respect the instructions that God has given us regarding sex and marriage. Number four, be generous and give to those in need. Number five, be truthful at all times. And number six, be concerned about others and serve them. This is what God expects of us. God wants us to be in His kingdom, and He wants to give us eternal life. But we must learn to love one another.